that's someone I've dated, and that's someone I've dated, and that's someone I've dated. That one I'm currently dating.
You literally had a date but like that
I
once.
Literally had several.
A series of dates
it's
like
not
that.
The first time. I went to a show once and ended up sitting at a table with like three exes, two guys I had fun with, and my
Jenna,
brother. Yeah. And I was just like, well, this is awkward.
Jenna okay. Young, this is your life.
Also, that's your fault for sitting at the kids' table.
Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex.
You know
it's
what?
The
I was going to hit the
podcast.
Applause button, and then it didn't
with your
happen.
Hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna. This was supposed to come after the This Is Your Life, but I'm just putting it
a
here now.
A lot of things were supposed to we come can, after your well. Life, but they didn't.
Honey.
And there's the kitchen table orgasm, dummy. And there's the countertop
oh
orgasm, and there's the pillow orgasm, and
saying,
the blanket orgasm.
I'm just saying, there are a lot of different types of orgasms, and I don't mean location. I mean, like, ways
shrimp,
your body feels.
Bowl shrimp.
Yeah, no, I understand. There's the G-spot orgasm and clitoral orgasm
exactly.
And nipple orgasm and
have nipple orgasm. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I think, maybe.
Nipple orgasm is my super group of Four Non Blondes and the Bloodhound Gang.
And so we're drinking.
Anyway,
James and I are drinking a beer from Lake Time Brewery in Clear Lake, Iowa. It is called That's My Jam Berry Ale.
Well, it smells amazing.
Yes, and it is a kind of a reddish, almost slightly purplish color.
Pink. It's pink salsa.
Yeah, that's what I said. Jenna, it started with a P. Jenna is drinking a cider from
always does
from the Duluth Cidery. She's drinking North, which is a cider made with pine and maple.
Ooh! So this is gonna taste like the North Shore.
Yeah,
it's gonna taste like juniper. I'm so sorry. I should have waited.
Why? What? James.
You just ruined it.
James.
Thank you very much.
I should have.
James.
I should have waited.
You're an asshole and I hate you. It's a good thing you're cute.
But I like this beer. Oh, this is really good. This is an adult juice box.
It doesn't actually taste like juniper.
Oh, good.
No, the maple is pretty heavy in this. There's a little bit of a, like a cedar back, but that's not.
That's different.
Yeah, it's they say pine, but it tastes more cedary to me.
Okay, gotcha.
So, no, this
is... For the connoisseur's palate, the pine and the cedar are completely different.
That's...
We
all know that's
true. I'm not
true.
A tree connoisseur,
each of us for very different reasons.
Yes. no, but what James and I are drinking... I drank it. It was like, this tastes like a tropical fruit, like, juice box.
Like a high C, yeah.
Yeah.
But with hops?
But, no, well, the high C is orange, isn't it?
Not always.
Okay. No, high C comes in different flavors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can back James up on this one.
Yeah.
Not the earlier one, but this one I can.
No, that's fair.
Look, I'm just here for the
truth. No, that's really good. I'm enjoying that.
And the mocking.
And the booze.
Yeah!
Right. So, what y'all been up to?
Many things.
Cool. Jenna?
So, I mean, if you're not going to start talking, James, if you're just going to be like, yep, I did stuff, then, yeah.
Was that a fencing thing with Jenna on Sunday?
Yeah.
You go on.
God, I understand why you think this is hilarious.
Apparently there's a story here.
No, he's reaching way back into the depths of our podcasting history. To bring forward a joke that only he thought was funny at the time.
This is 90% of his jokes.
But left me very confused as to what the fuck he was talking about, which is the only reason why I remember that and why he is finding this so goddamn hilarious right now.
Again, this is 90% of his jokes.
So, like, listeners, if anybody else remembers this thing, I guess you're welcome from James.
Yes, we are speaking for you now.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
That's why I signed that power of attorney.
I win. Yeah, no, we did. We legitimately did a fencing booth thing, or at least it was a thing with boothies.
Yeah.
It was because it wasn't like wide open like everybody. It was
right.
specific.
Yeah.
Group.
But it was ostensibly hosted by the booth group.
It was by boothies, for boothies, okay. with boothies, and there was fencing.
It was for a specific boothie.
Yes.
I'm going to refer to you as the booth group from now on, by the way.
Yeah, all right.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, we did that thing. You missed out on some amazing drummies, James.
I know.
I fucking nailed them. There was a grill. So I brought some drummies, and I picked up a peach bourbon glaze.
Oh. Now, when you say drummies, you mean like chicken drumsticks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, drummies.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what they're called.
Called drumsticks, but yes, go ahead.
They're drummies.
Also called drumsters, Bobby Sue's, and...
Nobody calls them that, James. Thank you. Keep going, Jenna.
Your children may be getting into drummies.
Glaze these things. There was a grill, and I glazed them with this peach bourbon glaze.
Mm.
The outside was nice and crunchy crisp. The inside...
Say it slow.
The inside was juicy.
Was it moist?
It was so moist. It was legitimate juicy. Like, not even just moist. It was juicy.
Yes, but was it moist?
It was also moist.
Yeah.
But juicy is definitely the more descriptive...
Nice and crunchy on the outside.
Accurate. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm fucking nailed them. I fucking nailed them.
You experience a table orgasm if you keep talking.
Yeah, Jenna nailed some moist thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Few ears of corn.
And I lost.
What?
My favorite part of this was that somebody asked, what are the buns for? Because there were hot dog buns, and I said, the corn. And everybody had a moment where they pictured it, and that was the funny part, and then they were bewildered.
I missed that one.
I loved it. It was just the the quickness of, you know, the corn. Just no idea where that came from, but it's the right shape, I guess.
I would love to spend a day viewing the world from your perspective.
I wouldn't.
And no. I'm not saying this in a facetious way or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, the way you view the world, the way you move about the world and view the world is very different from the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be able to see that for like a day. I don't think I could keep up. But yeah, like, it's, I'm just like, huh, how would that, like, I just,
I have a headache just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well.
Me too.
But yeah, buddy. There was
it's like getting airsick in a kaleidoscope. It was basically the experience.
Mm-hmm. What? No, that actually makes a weird amount of sense
to
me.
Yeah, it does. All right.
So, No, I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm just going to keep going. Mm-hmm. So, there was fencing to be had. I had injured my hand, and I decided not to.
Ooh, booing your hand.
I should have done at least one bout against Rue.
Mm-hmm. Rue was in rare form.
He was in rare
Holy
form.
Holy shit.
We are still currently tied, I believe. I might be a one-up on him, but I think we're tied right now.
Mm.
I know he's not winning.
Right.
But I feel like if I had fenced him yesterday, I would not have been winning anymore.
That's entirely possible. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him quite so sharp.
He was on top of it, man. He was. He had home field advantage.
He beat Stedman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the two of them, like, immediately fell over.
Right.
Like, they were working hard, man.
Oh, shit, yeah. I was proud to ringmaster that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. just hanging out with Boothies was really kind of the name of the game.
I described it to a coworker, and I said, we spent several hours sword fighting and eating meat that was cooked on fire.
Yep.
And what else do you want from an afternoon?
Right.
Honestly.
Exactly. Why was the meat on fire?
It was cooked.
It was grilled.
On fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Over a fire.
Okay. Okay.
Above a fire.
Okay.
For varying definitions of on.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's a ramp, salsa.
No matter what.
All right. So.
Ironically, or poetically, one of the two, after the boothing thing where I grilled up a bunch of drummies for everyone, I left from there to go collect my actual grill.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I had originally thought that this was going to be in North Minneapolis, and my grill was in North Minneapolis, so it was like, oh, that's like 6 blocks away. I'll just swing by on my way home, and like, no, it ended up elsewhere. So, yeah, like, not a big deal.
As one does.
A whole 10 minutes out, so it was awful, I tell you. So yeah, but I had arranged to get the grill under that premise, and then I just went and got the grill. So now my grill is back home. Which means I can actually start practicing grilling again. It needs some rust stuff done to it. It got rusty. Grills do that.
They do.
Like, they're like, so it got a little rusty? I'm like, yeah, it's a grill, and you've had it outside for a year and a half.
Right.
Like.
It's going to.
Yeah. But you got use out of it, and you did stuff with it, and that's really what I cared about for the past year and a half. In fact, the people that I left it with tend to be community feeders. So they would have, like, grilling things for community people and just, like, people could come out and eat. Yeah, I know, right?
Like, this is you, but in grill form.
Wait, was that sweet or a sex joke?
It wasn't a sex joke, but now I wish it had been.
Okay. Well, then, aww.
Jenna had a cookout like that once.
Yeah, there we go.
There we are.
James, if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Oh. I tried to think of the most harmless thing.
Mm.
No, we don't have to keep quoting it. We all know where it can move on.
So anyway, it got good use and helped people feed people. Which is the best I could have hoped for it. And now it's back home where I will continue to use it to feed people.
Yeah.
Probably on a smaller scale. I'm not as open about my personal residence as some people are.
Fair.
I'm pretty open about it with people I know, but I'm not a, wandering in off the street kind of. Yeah. I got walls and fences for a reason.
and turrets.
And
catapults.
I basically kind of do with that upper deck.
And Home Alone style traps.
Yes.
Yes.
That's accurate. I'm not going to tell you where they
series
are.
Series of, yeah.
Have fun if you come to my housewarming. But, so did all of that. Trying to think of what else I did. You could talk more about what you did. We could go back and forth. We don't have to just list.
Showed up. I ate meat that was cooked over a fire.
Oh, I was thinking besides booth thing, unless you had a specific story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Went to a farmer's market over in the Richfield Edina area and picked up a gigantic block of cheese and some buffalo meat and some tiny plants.
What kind of cheese?
Gouda. Two different kinds of Gouda. One of them was a wild rice Gouda, which is delicious. Even as I like wild rice in a soup. And that's usually kind of where I'm at with wild rice.
I love wild rice. I will take all of your wild rice.
But,
that's okay. I will take all of your cheese.
This is a kind
and
of a Jack Sprat situation.
So
salsa
melon.
Will eat the cheese.
And kiwi.
Coconut.
Mm-hmm. Peanuts.
Yeah.
Banana, you can have the apple.
Pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
I will have everything, and Jenna will have
wild rice and apples. I like honey.
So, it was fucking awesome. I'm over in, I believe it's Veterans Park. delightful. Nice. I guess it's there every Saturday. Things are affordable, and they have a little bucket at the entrance where, you know, if you've bought five bunches of radishes or something like that, which look amazing, by the way, you can drop one off there, and they'll make sure that fresh produce makes it to people who need it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. And they had the cutest fucking thing. Little teacups that had been glued onto saucers and put onto pikes that you stick into the lawn. And then you fill it with a little bit of sugar water to feed bees and hummingbirds.
And hummingbirds, yeah.
From a tiny teacup.
This seems right up your alley.
Yeah.
It super is. It's adorable. Yeah. So there's that. And then after that, went to Midtown Global Market, got some beers, and wandered around for a little bit. And then, yeah, just had one of the last rehearsals for Death on the Dam. We've got, I think, two more. And then it's the fucking show.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. We're going to be doing multiple shows a night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So y'all are doing like a wandering audience thing, right? Is that my understanding?
The audience will have a host that walks them through it.
Yeah. It'll come in waves.
Mm-hmm.
Over the dam?
Yes.
That sounds dangerous.
So it's like, what, every 15 minutes a new group sets out?
Not quite. Something? So the shows will be in pairs. The pairs will be 15 minutes apart. But then there will be like an hour break between each pair. Maybe not an hour. Maybe like a half hour or something like that. But there will be a sizable amount of time between.
I don't remember. I just know that it'll happen in waves.
So we have two hosts, and then each one of them playing the same character. And then, so if you go to an earlier show, you get one Tony. If you go to a later show, you get the other Tony out of the pair.
Hmm.
Yeah. But everything else is the same actors. And they guide you around the dam. They give you facts about the Minneapolis Lock and Dam. And then, then there's a murder mystery.
It's edumacational, too.
And then there's a moiter.
A moiter.
Moiter, most foul.
Something like that, yeah. But, the show feels really good. So.
Nice.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Saturday, I ended up hanging out with my ladies group. I have a group of ladies that I hang out with. Some of them are involved with the damn show. The damn show. That damn show. I don't know what y'all are calling
it. New on the Disney Channel. That damn show.
Yes. What did the fish say when it swam in a cement wall?
Ouch. That hurt.
Damn. No, but they were talking about it, and they're really excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
About that. And talking about how it's definitely different, but it's also nice to just kind of have where you're like your kind of set thing and not having to like go 18 million places or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That, and I imagine one of the difficulties of the prior shows was being almost continually accessible to the audience.
Yeah.
So you've got your set pieces on the Jonathan Paddleford. They would have their set pieces, and then as long as they were out and about on the boat, which is hard not to be, people could stop you and ask you tons of questions and grill you about all of the...
So they were street performers at a Ren Fair.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same way with the Mystery Lodge.
Yeah, you know, which is still, like, that's a different experience, it's pretty fucking cool. In this case, there are specific places where people can ask questions for very particular reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the audience will have a chance to question every person, mm-hmm. and
that was honestly, I was one of the first. I was in the first Mystery Lodge that we did when we were still trying to figure out how this worked.
Right,
and I remember having so much anxiety about that, improv in your character. While it was because you've got to do this thing where you give just enough information, and if they ask the right questions, you give up the information, but you also kind of want to be cagey too. And so striking that balance of giving them the information, because it's not fun if you just don't say anything.
Yeah.
So you've got to let things slip.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, taking some of the random questions they ask and just going, this is not relevant at all, but I'm going to answer it. Is this a question? Are they going to get to any relevant questions? And should I start volunteering information? Or should I just, they're asking shitty questions, so you don't get any information. And it was just that whole, like,
how do you not help just, guide them?
Yeah, not just as a character, but as a show. We had never done this before, so even the directors were like, the producers and the directors are like, you having done it for a few years, I'm sure you have a lot more guidance as far as the director and the producer as to like how to do that.
The producer have a lot of experience now under their belt. This is my first time doing it, but they were able to give us a pretty good beat, and they gave us a way to practice as well.
At the beginning, it was the Wild West. It ended up amazing because they would ask these crazy left field questions, and you just had to roll with it in your character's voice, and it was a lot of fun. It was very much fun. I would love to do it again.
But now you have kids.
Yeah.
And responsibilities.
One of the things that they had us do in order to practice for this was
it's outdoors in the summer.
Yeah.
Like if we do a mystery lodge again,
lovely.
Where it's in an air conditioned lodge, then I would be absolutely.
I'm
going to
get sunburned doing this. I have great faith that I'm also going to like sweat myself to death.
Yeah. You want to borrow my SPF CC sunscreen foundation?
I usually just sort of bathe in some SPF 70.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you.
But like, you know, if you want the foundation,
I appreciate
just to
that.
Like if you get a little red, tone down.
Thank you.
Bits. I know how redheads do.
Yeah. In addition to having us just practice quick Q&A sessions during the, you know, while we're doing run-throughs, they also had each of us get up on stage and had every person in the cast and crew ask us first just random fucking weird ass questions.
Yeah, we did the same thing because I was in the first
ask us questions specifically about the mystery
we did.
Yeah,
and that was definitely some of the.
Oh, I have a question.
Q&A session.
Did you do it?
That has been asked.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, we were, the rest of us are specifically said, ask the weirdest random, gotcha questions, and also some of the most off the topic, like. Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of train?
Yeah.
If you were a bird.
And by the time we got through all of those, then the questions we got from the audience were still some surprising and sometimes, but we knew how to roll with it.
So. Oh,
but
sure,
but it was such a different thing than anything we'd ever done before.
And when you do the dishes, do you use the same sponge you washed the dishes with to clean out the sink, or do you grab a different sponge to clean out the sink? Do you clean out the sink?
I actually don't use a sponge to clean out the sink. I use a dishcloth specifically for the surfaces.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Me too.
Who uses a different cleaning? You get done, you swish out the... You use a different sponge to clean the sink?
I use a dishcloth,
Actually, well, because I use it for the sink and the counters. I do sink and counters as a thing.
Oh, I don't use the same.
This is actually one of the things that like I fell in love with Joe over, because I watched him do the dishes and he did everything the exact same way I did, down to he does the squeak test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just watching him like,
but you use a different.
But yeah,
why?
And then he put away the sponge
because the other one's dirty.
The dishes sponge.
So, are the dishes still dirty?
No,
because you used a sponge on it.
You also rinsed them off after.
So you rinse the sink out too.
Kind of.
If the dishes are clean using that sponge, then the sink is clean using that sponge.
I use a different one.
So do I.
Because I'll use the one that I use for the sink, because then you do sink encounters and, like, the stove edges. Yeah.
I don't know if I would if I didn't have dishcloths that had been knitted for me by a partner. And I was like, well, I have dishcloths now, so shit, I'll just use these.
You have rocked my world with your absolute
inane
use James of extra washing
and Joe
unit.
All do this. Mm-hmm. Several other people do this.
So out of the four of us,
I know it's not an everybody
one.
Thing.
No, it's fine. You use superfluous sponges for no reason, but that's cool. You do you.
Superfluous sponges is my They Might Be Giants cover band.
I mean, the thing is about this whole sponge thing, Salsa, is that you're not wrong, but also I'm not wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Yeah.
I just said,
he just implied it heavily.
Because I
why
prefer
use an extra
to
sponge?
Have them separate. Why are you attracted to women? I don't. It's
because they have
it's a
boobs.
Preference.
Okay, I got to go with Salsa's logic on this. That was impeccable.
Have you seen the female form compared to the male form?
Yeah, I have.
Okay,
it's very
that's
pretty.
That's why.
But I'm just saying.
I have a reason.
It's a preference.
A well thought out one.
I don't know that boobs.
I
is
also
well thought out. It's
I mean, I
valid.
Think about
it's
it all the
valid.
Time.
Okay.
I also don't use the same sponge for the kitchen.
I have put a lot of thought into boobs. A lot of thought.
I believe this to be accurate. I do believe this to be accurate.
Something like 35 years and counting. So
I've also put a lot of thought into boobs too.
I don't use the same brushes and sponges to clean the kitchen that I use in the bathroom. To clean, like, the bathroom floor and tile and stuff.
What are you using a sponge on the floor for anyway?
No, for countertops and stuff.
Okay.
And like, brushes and stuff for the floor.
No, I just use the washcloth that's in the bathroom.
Huh. Okay.
I'm with Salsa on this one. I do have a cloth in the bathroom for those things, yes.
Yeah, I've got a... like scrubbies and and brushes and
where
things.
Where are you going with this?
No, I'm saying like
he uses different ones for it. So should he start using the dishes sponge for doing bathroom cleaning as well? I think was his angle.
Yeah, that's
what I was getting.
But
from
they're
it.
In different rooms. Anyway.
Oh my god, I'm so happy right now because I understood everything that's happening and it doesn't fucking matter.
I get it.
Just like this 12 years of this doesn't matter either. To be fair.
To be fair.
I woke up this morning. And
I'm sure Raiderly was relieved.
Got the kids ready for school and went outside and we got in the car and we were pulling out of the driveway and my daughter exclaims loudly as she is wont to do. And so I don't really think much of it because she exclaims loudly all the time. Mm-hmm. But then I don't even remember exactly what she said, but something about look at the tree. And I looked over and our tree had a branch that had come loose from the tree and was halfway in the street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's that home ownership going for you?
I know, right? We're on a pretty quiet street, and everybody has garages, so, like, there's usually no cars parked on the street, and so there was no cars that were damaged or anything like that. But it was just like, there's a big branch in the street that's my problem now.
Yep.
But I had to get the kids to the school bus, so it was just like, okay, calling Raiderly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I called her, and she was like, I'll see what I can do, and she went out there, and she couldn't move it by herself because it was too big. So when I got home from dropping the kids off at the school bus stop, then we proceeded to manhandle it out of the street.
As a space team.
And then... after after work today, when she got home. We proceeded to chop that up. But that was, yay, like Jenna said, yay, home ownership. That's a thing that I have to worry about now. Yeah, this whole renting thing has
just started looking better
it's
and better.
It's really nice.
As I've watched other people go through their home ownership
stuff. There are definitely things like, I'm looking at a wall, and if I don't want that wall there anymore, it doesn't have to be there in, like, 5 minutes. I could do that. But, on the other hand, it's my fucking problem when there's a tree.
Yeah.
But the other thing is my wife brought home a bunch of lumber a few days back because she wants to build a raised bed for, like, the tomatoes and vegetables and stuff like that. So that's what we did on Sunday is the two of us were out in the garage with the power tools and making a raised bed. And this thing is big. It's big and beefy because we also...
Would I be able to step into it without getting a shower stool?
I was just about to ask.
No, Jenna, you would need a stepladder.
Little dachshund steps.
This thing comes up to my armpits.
Oh, wow.
Because we want to try to...
Would I drown in it, then?
It's
pretty
about...
likely.
So it's about 4 feet tall, maybe a little bit... No, it's about 4 feet tall, I'd give or take. And then the bed itself is about 2 feet deep.
Okay.
So it's pretty big.
All right.
It doesn't come up to my armpits. I was being suspicious.
So you could kill me and bury me in your backyard.
I could literally bury you in the bed.
Yeah, but we could do that if we had an empty matchbox, too.
Also,
I mean, why empty?
Pet cemetery. but yeah, no, we built this thing. It is beefy, and it is heavy, and it is big, but it is going to last forever. But she built it so big because she wanted to be able to not only get it off the ground for, like, rabbits, but also, honestly, to try to deter the deer as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, if we do have to put a fence on it, we can just put a couple feet of fencing on the top of it and be done.
Not like 5 feet of chicken wire.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's big and we built it. And honestly, it was a ton of fun to build a thing with my wife. Because, I mean, I grew up on a farm. I know my way around power tools. And she's done, like, scene shop and stuff for theater for years. She knows her way around a power tool. She's done Fest her whole life. She, you know, knows how to construct a thing. And so, yeah, we chopped it up and stuck it together. And it was a little couple activity. And it was a ton of fun.
Oh, that's adorable.
It really was.
And awesome. So, good work.
I just realized I need gardening gloves. Because I need to pull out a bunch of stuff in my garden. You talking about that reminded me. I'm like I could use my fencing gloves, but I really don't want to use it for that. They're too nice.
Do you want any hostas?
You know what? Let me get back to you on that, Salsa. Let me get back to you on that.
Wow.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can strangle you. It'll be
dear listeners, most of us will be back in a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Also, butts exist.
They do.
And we're back?
Why is that confusing?
And I'm Jenna.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
You sure are.
Where the fuck did that come from?
It's just kind of my buffering sound.
it's
screensaver. Yeah.
It's my brain's catching up.
I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know. So, topic. We're going to talk about a thing.
Butts.
They exist.
So, hey, I have a topic.
Yeah.
Cool. We're gonna. So this topic is gonna start out like a what you've been watching, but it's not.
Okay.
It kind of is. It might become, but it might not. But either way, I've been watching a thing.
Okay.
It might become.
Yes.
Ew.
Yes, it might be.
I mean, it depends. We all watch those movies, but we don't talk about that.
Explicitly.
I will describe it if you want.
No.
Okay, it's yellow and chunky. I know what it's like, okay? Don't worry.
Oh, God.
You don't need to describe it.
Okay.
Best mac and cheese I've ever had.
No, God. Yummy. No, I'm actually going to be sick. Please don't do
that. Okay, so anyway, I've been watching a thing. So my wife was at her sister's house and came home and was like, I just got done watching a thing that was amazing and you would love it. Hmm. And so she told me about it and I started watching it. And yes, I'm absolutely enthralled. I have been watching nothing but this for the past week now.
Is it a British quiz show?
No, it's not.
Well, I assumed if it's from Raterly's sister.
Completely reasonable, but it's not. Yeah. So this is a show, it's called Acorn to Arabella.
Hmm.
And what it is a series about a couple guys who decided that they didn't like the direction their life was going and decided to build from scratch a boat.
Ooh.
And then sail around the world.
Holy shit.
All right then.
And so the name of the boat is Arabella.
Mm. Sure.
And they start with trees. Like, they're not going to the store to buy lumber.
No.
They cut down the trees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To build this boat. And it is absolutely enthralling. Hmm. Like, I am so fucking invested in it. Because, one of the guys in 2011 bought a book on boat building just because it looked interesting.
Like every person in their 30s probably does.
He was 30 years old. He's a guy, like, he's got his master's degree in education. He grew up on a farm in Western Massachusetts.
No wonder he decided he needed to go to school.
Right.
But he was just like, you know, he picked up this book because it looked interesting and he read it. And the more he read it, he kind of got this idea. And so, like, in 2016, he talked to a few friends of his who were like, about this idea. And one of them was actually on board. And so they have to build it, James. Pay attention.
Wow.
But he has this farm in Western Massachusetts and they got a bunch of fucking trees. And so he's literally like, we're going to chop down these trees, gonna mill them, and we're gonna build a boat out of them. And so they are building a 38-foot sailboat.
Shit.
Oh, wow.
It's a big fucker.
Yeah.
And they're going to build it and then live on it and fucking sail around the world.
Fuck, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And so, like, the first 10 episodes is just getting ready to build the thing. Like, it's cutting down the trees. It's milling the trees. It's getting tools. It's talking about how they're going to build it. It's building the plans to build the boat. Like, it's 10 episodes of just getting ready to build the boat before they even start actually building the boat. And it's amazing. There's one whole episode where they buy a giant bandsaw and restore it. There are two whole episodes where he talks about the chemistry of salt water on different metals and how when you have two different metals in a saltwater solution, how they interact with each other.
Fuck, that's amazing.
Where if you have lead and bronze together, both of them are at the same end of the nobility scale.
Okay.
And so they don't interact with each other very much. but lead and steel are at opposite ends of the nobility scale, and so in a saltwater solution, they will corrode each other massively.
Yeah.
Right. And so one whole episode is him talking about different metals in close proximity to each other in saltwater.
Shit.
And then the second episode is all of those metals plus different types of woods.
Hmm.
Because oak has a lot of tannins in it, and that really reacts to things like galvanized metals. Okay. Whereas bronze is fairly inert when it comes in contact with oak, and the oak is more tannin than pine, and so it doesn't react as much to pine. It's just like, tell me more.
Yes,
please.
Say it slow.
Talk to me more. I am so fucking sucked into this show.
Right now, I am
2.5 years into the project right now, and they have built the spine of the boat.
Hmm.
That's all the further they are, but it doesn't matter because it's amazing, and they're doing this all, like, just by themselves, like, just a couple guys in a fucking... Like, one whole episode was them building the shed that they were going to build the boat in.
That's fucking awesome.
And then having to take down the shed because it was too close to the road.
Oh,
and the inspector came out and was like, nah, it's too close to the road.
Close you gotta move it.
Yeah, and so they had to, like, take the whole thing and take it down and move it and put it back up.
Fuck.
So they could build the boat in there. And like, they're just going to different boat shows and talking to people and meeting people, and people have been really supportive and volunteering their time and donating stuff and all sorts of things. They bought an old sailboat, a single master sailboat that was just in too rough a condition to restore. It would cost more to restore than it would be to build a new one.
Right.
And so they bought this boat for a few $1,000s. And they proceeded to dismantle it piece by piece.
Sure.
Saving all of the things that they could keep. You know, all the capstans and the you know, windlass and just all the metal bits, you know, and all the little... And just all the amazing little details, the hinges on the cabinets inside
they saved
and, like, little coat hooks and things like that from inside the cabin. Just that way, it's one less thing they've got to buy later.
Yeah, you know?
And it's, oh, it's...
And plus, giving it another life is amazing.
And just him talking about, you know, because you need a lot of weight at the bottom of a boat to keep it upright.
I love how your hands went to your stomach when you said
No, I was. It's.
I know. You were doing emotions.
So the bottom of
the sign language is for something very different.
Yeah, the bottom of a boat comes down into a V, right? And you need a lot of weight down there, so the whole thing doesn't tip over.
Yeah,
you know, you need all that ballast. And there's a couple you could build, either a ballast out of iron or you could build it out of lead. And so they're talking about the choices that they're making. Should we make this out of iron? Should we make this out of lead? Here's the pros. Here's the cons. Lead, a lot easier to work with because it melts at 600 degrees, whereas steel melts at 2,000 degrees or something like that. However, lead is heavier, so you need less of it. You know, and just all the... And they finally decided to go with lead, and here's all of the PPE that we need, and here's why lead is dangerous to work with, and these are the things that we do to mitigate that. And then they go through smelting the lead. And they go through making the mold for the keel, and they made a mold and then realized that the way they did it was probably a bad thing, so they had to scrap it and redo it. And it's just, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've already talked for way too long on just what the show is. Finally getting to my topic. shows like this that are people making things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that I love so much.
Sure.
You know, and there's a lot of shows out there that are people making things, but this one is a 5 to 10 year story.
Sure.
That is going on. They've been at it for 6 or 7 years now, and they're getting close to you know, where they need to be. They're still a couple years out of actually setting sail, but they're getting there. But it's just going on that journey with them. I love that. And mm-hmm. there's so many other people that make things on YouTube. There's some wood turners that I follow. There's
mm-hmm. Sure.
There's Tasting History with Max Miller, where he cooks and talks about history. And mm-hmm, my mm-hmm. wife got me onto Rachel Maxey, who is somebody who sews vintage clothing and stuff like that. I love that maker space.
Maker shows.
Yeah. Maker shows, yeah. Which is where I'm, you know, getting back to the cum, where mm-hmm. I just like watching these shows is just, it's brain porn.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
for
yes.
people like me who like I said, just two episodes on the chemistry of different metals and woods in a saltwater solution mm-hmm. and what that's going to do over time in the ocean. It's just like, yes, tell me more.
Yeah.
And because he does have a history and education, he lays it out mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. in this well realized mm-hmm. explanation, you know, where he's discussing some fairly complicated things at some points. He's talking about the lofting floor is how you transpose the pattern into real space so that you can shape all of the individual pieces in a
sure,
real three,
yeah.
in a real 3D environment. And how do you do that?
Sure.
And he's explaining how this whole thing works. And you do this, you plot these points, and then you use this batten to get the curves. And this is why the batten has to be specifically this way. Otherwise, you'll get a curve that is not a natural curve. And so you need to do these things. And it's just like, I love every second of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. Similarly. Okay, so this sounds like it's at the apex of two of my recent interests. One of them is narrow boating. If you're not familiar with it, these are boats that are specifically designed as houseboats for canals, in particular, frequently canals in the UK.
Like the punts and, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is a boat that takes up less than half of a canal.
Yep.
So
that they can cross.
Yeah.
I understand the basic laws of physics. Then,
of hydrodynamics.
Hydrodynamics.
Have you seen the 2-hour video on Netflix?
Of narrowboating?
Yeah, it's all it is they took a camera and mounted it to the front of a narrowboat, and they went from like Avon to another city, and it was like a 2-hour flow, and all it is them going down the canal.
But looking
it was great.
Looking at narrowboats, these are like the canal version of people building little conversion campers.
I was about to say tiny houses, but
converting vans into campers.
Which is actually what I've been watching a lot of.
Right.
Oh.
So
I love fucking watching it, like conversion vans.
Oh neat.
Oh my god.
I've fallen in love with that, and but that's a longer term interest. The narrowboats thing is newer, and then I've very recently been watching people build cabins out of effectively nothing. Very similarly,
chop down.
They get the land.
Tree, yeah.
They it's covered in trees. They find the trees that they want, mm-hmm. and then they make those into the lumber that they mm-hmm. need, and they make either a log cabin or they do an incredible amount of work, build a sawmill, and then make the lumber that they want, mm-hmm. Or an airplane, yes. And
that
then
was not
so. Yeah, some of these things are fucking fascinating.
Clearly, a motorcycle,
and I've been incredibly fascinated watching people do things like roofing and power distribution and water points and all of that stuff. And
especially when they're highly skilled and they just make it look so easy.
Yeah. Although I was really gratified to watch somebody spend a couple of months making a single room cabin with a nice porch. And toward the end, he says, so in this video, you'll notice that I made a huge mistake.
oh, God.
And that was that the staircase I'm currently building should have been first. I could have saved myself so much time. And if you rewind, you'll watch that every time I get up onto that deck, I have to sit on it and swing my legs up or clamber up on.
Mm-hmm.
I, folks, I could have had steps.
That honestly, that has been kind of interesting with this show is, yeah. is in the, he, many, many times throughout, they have said, we are not boat builders. Mm-hmm. We have right. no idea what we're doing yeah. here. We have a history of, with tools and, you know, we're not dummies when it comes to making things, right. but we've never made a boat before. We've never, neither one of them know how to sail.
Oh, shit. Well, this is going to be exciting.
Steve, the guy who's like the main person in charge of this whole yeah. thing, he's like, the boat I learned to sail on is going to be the boat that I build.
Fuck.
Because I'm going to know every so cool, single bolt.
I might have started smaller.
Like, that's awesome.
But he is going to know but every also... bolt of that ship
oh, sure.
when he's
yeah.
sailing it. You know, he's going to know the rigging. He's going to know yeah. everything about that boat yeah. when he learns. The other guy, he went out a couple times with a friend and learned okay. some basics.
Good.
But, sure.
But, you know, they're not going to immediately start sailing the world. They were like, no, once we get it on the water, we're going to spend, you know, some time learning yeah. how to do this.
Sink it once or twice in a harbor and then... tip it over, knock the water out.
But they very clear from the beginning that they are not boat builders.
Sure.
And so at the beginning, the plans were God. Like, they were within, you know, a 16th of an inch
sure.
to the plans. And it's interesting now seeing 2.5-3 years in where... He's like, okay, you know, this isn't quite, but so I'm gonna make some changes here, and I'm gonna kind of figure this out. And this is,
yeah, yeah.
And he's comfortable enough now to be able to make those changes on the fly and roll with the things that aren't quite the way he expected them mm-hmm. to be.
Sure, sure.
And make some actual design changes mm-hmm, to the mm-hmm, design mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's just like it's really interesting seeing that evolution,
yeah.
of him. Throughout the project.
It sounds super fascinating.
Yeah,
it sounds like a wild afternoon. And watching people restore things too, like the motorcycles and tools and
the videos where they take an old rusty tool yeah. and then polish
yeah,
it up.
Old
and
Soviet motorcycle one that I sent you like a year yeah. ago. Jesus Christ!
Well, just like the cheese cutter.
Yeah, or the candy press.
Oh, yes.
Fuck, that was so good. Okay. All right, so.
Like they sandblast it and powder coat it and take beautiful. Everything apart and then
fucking
fix
gorgeous.
All it. Oh,
yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
It's brain porn for makers.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
I love it so much. Yeah. You have some names? Yeah. What are you watching?
I would. Shit,
what are you watching? Makers Edition.
I'll provide links.
Okay.
I'll grab links and then we'll post them in the sure. show notes. But yeah, I also again Nick Offerman's book and
yeah.
What is it? Good, Clean, Fun. And
I don't
then
remember off the top of my head,
Adam Savage's Every Tool Is a Hammer. Are great primers for mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, Jenna, how about you?
I watch a lot of van conversion stuff, which is just great because there are always two questions I have, mm-hmm. right? There are two things I very specifically want to see. Are you going to install a shower of some sort?
Mm.
Because that's always, what are you doing for a shower?
Yeah.
What is your shower?
Because a water reservoir is space and weight.
It is.
Yep.
But also shower.
Also shower.
But also. Like,
if you're going to be a festie, you need that.
Yeah. Right.
If you're going to have a bathroom, you might as well.
And then the second question is always, how are you solving the bed problem?
Because
beds take up lots of space.
They sure
are
do.
Are you just going to leave it? Are you lazy like me and don't want to make a bed? Mm-hmm. all the time and like have to lift it up to find your space or like
yeah.
shift it into a futon during the day and then bed by night situation. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with the bed? So those are always like the two things. And I don't have, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. So
yeah.
like not proper shows mm-hmm. like on Netflix or anything like that, but they're shows.
Not like a channel or anything.
Yeah, but I mean, and there's a few that I watch more consistently. I just can't remember the names of them.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I put everybody like, on a spot.
Yeah, there's this one guy that like actually he has a conversion van and he travels with conversion van people, so he's just asking people around him to talk about their conversion van
take
process.
A tour of the,
yeah.
Sure. That's
take a tour, find out about
cool
it, what did they do?
Yeah.
What's their lifestyle? How do they integrate their lifestyle into their van conversion?
Yeah, yeah.
I also love watching... I think they call them bussies, which is the dumbest fucking name ever. But bus conversions is what it is. But I think they, I think the term that they use is bussies, and I'm just like, bleh.
Yeah, I have I have different feelings about this word.
Yeah, I'm not good with that. But bus conversions can be super fun.
Oh shit! Yeah,
I've seen some phenomenal.
A lot more space to play with. Yeah. Even if it's a short bus, there's still a lot more space.
You've got a big cavity back there that you can really kind of go to town with. So butts are a thing.
They exist.
I told you. All right.
God,
no,
I just,
no, I'm coming around your way.
Okay, good, yeah.
God, that almost feels like a capper. But I also, on top of conversions, which I love watching for a variety of reasons. Number one, I want one at some point.
Yeah.
This is going to be my like part of the way through life, like. Thing I'd like to, once I retire, spend the first 10 years in a conversion van just driving around the great country that we are in. But getting to see more stuff, right?
Yeah.
So
you're going to Canada?
Yes, okay. Actually.
Or Central America.
Could be lovely this time of year.
Yeah. Canada's not so fucking hot.
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to Central America.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Ooh, buddy. Mm-hmm. But no, so that, like, that's my retirement plan. I want to be able to just whatever. And yes, I have the proper savings things set up. I'll be fine for retirement. Sure. But like, I want to build my own. I want it to be something that I
custom,
you know,
all of the little details that are like, nobody else in the world needs a place to store their swords in their conversion van, but I do. And so I'm going to build exactly the right spot to put those.
Probably not going to have this.
It was an example but off the top of my head.
I get it. I put you on the spot, motherfucker.
God damn it.
How does it feel?
Having driven a Volkswagen van again with the conversion pop-up, it was fucking amazing, but now I really want to build one. And actually, somebody has been sending me a couple of different sites that teach you how to build your own, like, teeny tiny pop-up trailer that any car can tow. Like a tiny
like
car.
Your tiny shoe?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a roller skate?
Yeah, roller skate.
So,
your roller skate could probably haul my pop-up. Doesn't weigh that much.
I've been thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because pop-ups don't weigh
you've
much.
You've been thinking about stealing Salsa's pop-up? That's
okay,
rude.
Literally, yes. But also...
If you want to borrow it, just ask.
That, too. Yeah. I mean, that takes all the fun out of it.
Are you using it this weekend?
Actually, no. We were going to be using it, but then we had someone cancel.
I think what I'm doing is a tent situation anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I would want to build something. But yeah, the idea of like a tiny expanding thing is super good.
See, I want everything to exist where it's going to exist. If I do a van conversion, the most I want to do is like a Murphy's bed style thing. I don't want to make my goddamn bed every fucking day.
Yeah, that was
like
that was a lot.
From sheets to every like I'll move some pillows, but that's it.
You don't want to have to turn the table into the middle part of the bed.
Having
slept in one of those, that sucks.
It's not great.
Yeah, the cushions, what we do in our...
I want at least 4 inches. Yeah. 6 would be better. 8 would be fantastic.
I mean...
Don't get greedy.
But, you know, at least 4 inches.
And his memoirs of a welfare size queen.
But, like, for our pop-up, we have a foam mat.
That was all
because
right.
the mattresses that come with it are, rock hard. But if you buy a 2-inch foam mat, that really helps.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that can roll up into a pretty small space.
But, yeah, and then there's the difference in, do you want, like... like a sprinter van conversion, or do you want to get like a fucking FedEx truck and convert bitch? If I was going to go that route, I would actually do ambulance.
Huh.
Because it's already got a bunch of the cabinetry built into it.
Sure.
It's pretty fucking solid.
It is.
It's intended to go fast speeds. Yeah, like the way it's laid out and everything. I'm like, that would be a pretty awesome conversion.
Hmm.
I would still go with like the short bus.
Short bus is pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. Like, there's something about that short bus that's
you've just got the. It is a blank canvas.
For me, it's the curved roof on the buses.
It's the shape of the roof.
So it's got kind of that caravan with the feel.
The ambulance has a bit of a boxiness. That's
boxiness has more functionality though.
One of the things that would sell me on a bus is the pop-up escape hatches on the roof. If you have a ladder that can be, you know, snuggled
turn
in there,
into a deck.
Yeah. But yeah, you can have rails up there and have a patio up top.
Yep.
One of the more compelling ones that I've seen was a not a sprinter van, but a box truck that had been converted into a two-story home, which was pretty
impressive.
Fucking amazing. And the bathroom shower situation was all one stall.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what I've thought of for, because I would want a shower situation thing.
Yeah.
Same thing where you're actually in the bathroom to shower.
Yeah.
You're standing over the toilet. Oh, well. Dear listeners, hey, if you're a person who likes that sort of thing,
share with us.
Talk about it. Who do you like?
Does this go into the what you've been watching or what you've been making?
What you've been watching, if it's something you're taking in. What you've been making, if it's something you are putting out into the world.
It might. There's a bit of a crossover in this one, honestly. But honestly,
I would say watching probably. Yeah,
no, I do love those types of things where people are creating things and letting their art become manifest. And especially if there is not just I'm making a thing, which are good too, but if there's that whole like process of making a thing involved in there too, I really like that. Like, it's one of the reasons that like Rachel Maxey is really fascinating to me is because she talks about here's her inspiration and this is like her thought process for the decisions that she makes and things like that, where she actually it's not just here I'm doing a thing, it's the thought behind and the decisions and stuff like that. I really like that sort of thing. But anyway, comment, weigh in, talk about it, both on the Facebook and in the Discord. You know how this works. And any final thoughts? Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. So anyway, should we record a podcast, you guys?
I don't know if it's a good idea.
I thought that's what we were doing this whole time.
Right now?
I actually think it's a terrible
idea. In front of these people?
But I...
Who are you calling these people?
You. You're one of those people. You did this to me last week. You don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yes!
And we're back. I'm so sorry.
And I'm Jenna. And I'm one of those people.
Aww. It's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five. Nice redirect.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan Senpai!
Yay, Stefan!
Yes.
Opening thoughts on this are, you are lucky I'm sick.
Oh. Aww.
I'm not doing anything more important, so I can respond to Jenna's plea. Because Jenna doesn't want to. It's Jenna's turn is next, and she doesn't want to write another Fast Five, so keep them coming, people.
Y'all don't want it either.
Anyway. Question number one. Cold or flu?
How is flu spelled?
F-L-U.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure I am.
Okay, so this might just be a direct thing and not like a chimney flu or a one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Okay. You feed a cold and you starve a flu.
Fever.
Fever.
I've always heard feed a cold, starve a flu.
Fever.
Yeah.
Well, you get a fever with a flu.
You get a fever with a flu.
Do. Yeah.
Either way.
But, yeah.
I like, is fever. I like to eat. So, I'm going with cold.
I don't like cold.
But flu, she's okay with.
This is the first time hearing about it. She'll be warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you get the chills.
Unless you get the chills. Oh, God. Oh, flu chills are the worst. They seep into your bones.
Look at the bones.
Oh, God. Which would you rather have? Which is...
If you're stuck with one for the rest of your life...
I would... It would be a very short life, because I would fucking kill myself. That's awful.
No, if I had to pick, I think I would go with flu, because anytime I get a cold, I feel like I have to push through it.
Oh.
Whereas when I get a flu...
You have an excuse to actually rest.
No, just fucking stop, Jenna. Just stop.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, like if I get a cold,
I think I gotta go with flu too.
I work from home, but I'm still working.
Shit.
I get a flu. I get my things are like if I've got a fever, if I've got diarrhea, if I'm vomiting, like those are my things where I'm like, nope, not working. Whereas with a cold, like
the sniffle, you're just like the sniffle.
I'm like, is it a cold or is it allergies? It doesn't matter. Like, just go.
Same symptoms are the same,
Yeah, take some DayQuil and move on with your day.
Right.
I think with, I would definitely work through a cold and not a flu. Also, one time I got the flu so bad I hallucinated. That was interesting. So, you know.
Yeah.
Like, fun times without drugs. So, yeah, flu. Fuck it.
I think at that point I would have taken some drugs.
Well, I mean, I took medicine, but it wasn't the medicine that was causing the hallucinations.
No,
so.
But still.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway. I'm going to go flu.
I think I'm sold on flu.
Okay. Still going cold.
I can sell anything.
It's true.
To James.
Also true.
Lower your bar.
Bars.
Question number two. Masked or unmasked? Wear a fucking mask, people.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, a lot of the dumber things I've done in my life are in the fencing booth and usually wearing masks. So...
It is a little weird going to a restaurant when they have a masking policy.
Yeah?
Because you go in wearing a mask, then you sit down and you take it off.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. You still do it. But, like, yeah, it's just like, how much are we actually saving here? Like, yeah.
There is a difference. But, yes.
Yeah, it's still just kind of like, it's still the same air. But if you're sitting down, you're not, like, necessarily directly in front of people that haven't already agreed to be in your presence. So, like, I get it, but it's still weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's what I'm kind of saying. Or going to a theater, but they'll let you, like, take your mask off while you're drinking, but then you put it back on, and it's just this constant, like, back and forth thing.
It's annoying,
it's
but still wear your
it's
mask.
It's awkward. I'm trying to find any kind of reason to not go mask. If I was a superhero, I would be unmasked.
Oh, that's a... I was just about to say, Halloween.
No capes, but definitely a mask.
Is your favorite Halloween costume one that had a mask or did not have a mask?
My favorite Halloween costume was one Jessa did. Like, her final Halloween, she was like, all right, this is the last Halloween, I'm going to go trick-or-treating.
Okay.
We dressed her up as a Sim.
I remember
that. So she just wore her regular clothes, and I made a plumb bob on a coat hanger wire.
Yeah.
I fed through a baseball cap and made, like, a solid base at the bottom.
That's so good.
Yeah. It was either that or the time she wanted to go as cheese. She's like, I want to go as cheese. I'm like, really? All right.
I love the creativity.
Yeah. No, it was fun, man. That's... We got her, we found a yellow and slightly darker yellow kind of water-dyed sweatshirt.
Oh.
So it actually worked really good. And then I made her a label that said Cole B. Jack.
Nice.
And some nutrition facts.
Nice.
And then we wrapped that cellophane around her torso.
Amazing.
It's like, well, your cheese. We did it. High fives all around.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best one I've done was when I went as the dude.
This seems correct.
Yeah, I went to a party and drank White Russians all night. It was great.
Yeah. One of my favorites that I've ever done.
And then I threw up a lot on the way home.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
That was when, White Russians.
That was when Raiderly and I were still dating.
Aww.
And she took me home.
She's and still married to
I know, right?
Halfway home, we had to stop and pull over, and I all over the sidewalk.
Aww.
It was bad.
And those kids never even saw it.
But if I was a superhero, I would absolutely mask, because if I was unmasked and people knew my identity, they would want to talk to me.
Yes, this is exactly why I would be an unmasked superhero. I want to be like Mr. Hulk, like with the kids coming up and taking the pictures and whatnot.
Just, spider salsa there, clambered up on the side of a building, just trying to play fucking Picross or read an e-book or something. And I'm like, hey, salsa. And he's like, fuck
just
off.
Just leave.
Don't
just
make me stick you to something else.
Just make eye contact.
Again.
Don't make eye contact. His vision's based on movement.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't hear you. My superpowers made me deaf now. I can't.
No, I've got it. Here's the context that doesn't exist, but this is what it is.
Okay.
Are you Team Iron Man or Team Captain America?
Captain America.
They both wear a mask.
No. Well, kind of.
Not really.
Yeah.
He wears more of a mask than Robin does.
He does. Robin with the little Harlequin? Yeah.
I think Robin was an awkward character anyway.
But, yeah, the little shorts.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that gets away with a Harlequin mask and goes, nobody knows who I am now. No, everybody. we did a big fun radio fun time a few years back where it was a Batman episode, and everybody knew who Batman was, but everybody's playing along.
Yeah.
And at one point, Commissioner Gordon slips up and calls him Bruce, and Batman is like, well, you know, it's because of that. I mean, who's Bruce? Who is this Bruce you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
And everybody's like, it just slipped out. I'm sorry, Batman. It was brilliant. It was very funny.
I was just thinking about that completely unrelated billionaire playboy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Nice.
It's not as bad as Superman. It's glasses and a fucking hair curl.
Although, I will say, I have seen some people remove their glasses and look like completely different people.
To be fair,
there are some people
out of their fest costume that don't wear a mask at all.
I know.
And I do not recognize them. So actually, suddenly, the Superman Clark Kent thing, I suddenly get 100%.
I was at Dragonston hanging out with the guys, and like somebody was like, oh, hey, Jenna. I'm like, hey, what's up? And I'm talking with this person for like a good 20 minutes. Yeah. And then this person leaves, and they're like, who is that? And I'm like, I have no idea. They're like, well, they sure knew you. I thought you knew them. I'm like, I've practiced this game.
I've played Knifey Spoonie before.
Yeah.
So I'm going.
I don't know if you knew. I'm kind of a rock star. So.
I've heard that in a bathroom, actually.
Yes.
You heard it in the bathroom? I've just
heard it.
Yeah, you were being
bathroom.
A little loud, actually.
You know what? No shame there.
Yeah, none.
Get
not
down
at all.
To your bad self.
Yep.
Mm. Question number three.
Bing.
Antigen.
I did the Bing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does Bing, it's Google.
Aww.
Antigen or PCR?
They both have their advantages.
They do. I definitely take the antigen tests more.
Oh, yeah.
Because the at-home tests are all antigen, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I take those regularly and consistently. And I will say, every single antigen test that I have taken has been correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know some people have their concerns with accuracy on it. It's not as bad as, like, originally came out a while back.
Right.
Like, it is actually in the 90s. It's pretty fucking solid for an at-home test.
Yeah. For something that you can do in 10 to 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But, like, so, but, like, if I have, like, an exposure or something like that, you go get a PCR.
It's the double check. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the double check.
Same, you know, when I was not feeling, I was not feeling well, you know, or something for a few days, it's just like, oh, yeah, let's take the antigen just to make sure, you know.
Yeah.
But when we were going to be traveling abroad, it was like, no, we're doing the full-on, like.
Do the PCR. Oh, yeah.
To make sure. You know,
do the PCR.
Because
the
antigen really is
kind of the daily maintenance, and the PCR is like, no, we're actually going to do the oil change here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Check tires.
Yep. That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. I do a PCR once a week, but I'll take a quick test before I go somewhere or a couple of days after seeing folks.
Yeah, just to kind of be like, I feel like this
I will
could
say,
be
a
thing.
I don't PCR every week. Probably maybe like once a month to 6 weeks.
I've got rehearsals.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even when I had rehearsals, I didn't do the PCR. Well, because we were only meeting once a week. So I'd figure it out by the time I had my next rehearsal for sure.
Sure.
And we were all good. We were the only group that didn't have somebody.
Fuck.
But yeah. No, I think I have more faith in the at-home tests than other people do, just based on my experience and trying to combat the early percentages were like, oh, maybe only like 75% to 80% effective or accurate.
Sure.
And then like later on, they're like, no, this is actually more effective. But like you latch onto that first fact that you hear.
Right.
And especially if you're already nervous, you just like grab it.
Yeah.
So. I'm gonna go antigen. Fuck it.
I think me too.
I'll go PCR.
Right. Question number four.
I still have videotapes.
Whoa.
5 or 14?
How long do you quarantine after an exposure?
Yeah. I think 14.
I mean, okay, because I had an exposure a few weeks back.
Sure.
But I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And you will know by day 5
right.
if you have gotten it.
That.
So, I mean, yeah, I would be a 5-day quarantine at that point. If I actually got it, I would definitely wait a few weeks.
Same. Yeah. I agree. If there was an exposure, I would do the 5-day and then get the PCR test.
Yeah.
And and if we're good there, then I feel I'm good.
Yeah.
But if it was a positive hit, I would do 14. So it really kind of falls on which side we're doing this. So I'm going to go 5.
Well, it's probably not even the context at all, and we're just outing ourselves on our ways of doing things and somebody is very angry on one side and somebody's very angry on the other.
Well, they're always angry at me, so I'm okay with it.
I mean, I'm also okay with them being angry. Yeah.
This is why I don't talk to people, because they're never happy with them.
Boom.
Question number five.
P-T-O
or W-F-H?
Work from home.
If you're sick... We were just talking about this.
It depends on what kind of sick.
Yeah.
When I had COVID the first time, I actually got like specific COVID days off. Like my company was like, if you're sick with COVID,
COVID leave,
fill out this form. And then it doesn't affect your PTO and you don't have to work. But I will say I was sick for almost the full month. When I got it the first time. Well, because it was the first batch, which was hitting people hard.
Yeah.
And I took about a week and a half off. I did not take the full month. When I was able to work, I worked. When I was able to kind of work, I was like, hey, boss, I'm going to kind of work. And he was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was like, of course you're only going to kind of work. You're sick. Do whatever you gotta do.
And your kind of work is way more effective than most of our regular employees, so
also
you do what you do. That's
kind of.
If
for my backups, they didn't know how to do my job really well, so it was kind of,
If I am in absolutely no condition to get out of bed, then obviously it's PTO. Mm-hmm. But if I'm able to work, I will absolutely work from home. Because I want to use as little PTO as I can possibly get away with so that, you know, come...
You have it for fun.
Renaissance Festival or things like that, I have all of that time bank. So I can take a couple weeks and go to Ireland or Greece or something like that, you know, and do things like that because I haven't taken, you know, half days here and days here.
Sure.
So that's always been my philosophy is if I'm able to work, I will absolutely sit down at my desk at home and plug away.
I mean, there'll be an occasional day if I'm sick and I'm just not feeling it. I'm like, well, fuck it. I also get a fuck ton of PTO now that I've been with the company as long as I have been. So I don't have to ration it as closely as
we used to. But then when the whole pandemic thing happened, they started to cap it.
Sure.
And we're just like, oh, son of a bitch. Because we used to be able to bank a lot.
Sure.
And then they started doing, no, we have to be 40 hours by the end of the year. And it was like, okay.
Yeah. So, I guess work from home.
Yeah, I would say work from home.
Yeah. Most of the time, if, I had to take a trip to a different state for a family emergency, and I was working.
I suppose also, like, when I did Christmas, I did not take the entire Christmas time off. Huh. And I did work from Kansas City, I guess.
Yeah.
I also had, like, from my position, I have end-of-the-year reports and, like, other things that I need to get done. And we were switching out. We were reorging for, like, the umpteenth time. So I had a lot of reorg work to do. So, like, I don't... Also, like... When we go to Kansas City, sometimes Joe just wants to spend time with his family.
Yeah.
Hang out with his mom. Take her to lunch. Like, it's fine that I'm not there for every single moment of that.
Exactly.
So, I guess I'm going to go work from home.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to go to the context here. And question number one, cold or flu. What symptoms do you think are more similar to COVID-19?
Flu, right?
The first time I got it, it was the flu. The second time, like, I was basically asymptomatic, but it can be more cold-like.
I honestly thought it was more cold-like because it's more respiratory.
Yeah.
Just like a cough and sneezy.
Well, the first time I got it, I actually did not have respiratory issues. I had fatigue for fucking days. I had aches and chills and diarrhea and all of that. Like, the first time was definitely flu-like. But I also think variant is a big deal. And vaccines. I'm going to drink some more.
Vaccines.
I'm begging you, please don't take my antigens.
Oh, all right. Good.
So, yeah. Anyway, no, but the vaccines, like, I had just gotten a booster my second time. I'm going to let the two of you die while I keep this podcast going. I had just gotten my booster and, like, had that. Felt like I was completely asymptomatic.
And that was just so that she could eat at a regular table.
Shut your whore mouth. God damn it.
It's a short joke.
I've never heard one of those before earlier today on this podcast.
It's funny because she's shorter than we are.
God damn it. It is possible that I had some symptoms the second time. But it was like allergies, if it was. Because I couldn't tell if I had allergies or if they were symptoms. You know what I mean?
I actually...
And it was allergy season for Joe, at least, in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I have very similar allergies. Oh, we share so much. It's a cute couple thing. he can eat, though, so I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, what a jerk.
God.
Eating foods.
Enjoying life. It was hard to tell if it was, like, allergy things or
symptoms. How can you enjoy life if you're using a separate sponge to wash the sinks?
Seriously. Oh, very easily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Salsa uses one sponge for everything.
Uh-huh.
And I do mean...
I'm getting you a loofah for the shower, buddy. Like,
look,
he's just going to use it on the dishes.
The dishes are clean. My butt is clean. Everything's clean.
Yeah, it's all clean. He washed the dishes with his butt and then used the sponge to clean.
No, no.
No, my butt's so hairy, it's like using a scrubby.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Ew. Ew, I'm never eating over again.
This is why
I bring Popeyes.
This is why I never yes and around James in public.
That is fair.
Yeah.
No, it's entirely possible that before we had a reliable home test that I had it and just thought it was allergies, or maybe I just had allergies. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the hard.
I do not know if I have ever had COVID.
Have you seen the Bohemian Rhapsody parody for COVID?
No.
The very first line is this COVID or is this just allergies?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that was it, and that was made like April May of 2020, so fast.
All right, question number two, masked or unmasked? Which is the more ethical way to be out in public during this still ongoing pandemic?
Right.
Masked.
Yeah.
Question number three.
Done.
Yeah. Antigen or PCR? Which type of COVID-19 test do you find the results more assuring?
I'm going to go with PCR. I trust the take-home tests. I do.
I completely trust them, but I'm more assured from the PCR.
I would say I'm probably more assured from a PCR, but like only slightly.
Yeah, but it's like 85 to 90. Like I'm confident in both of them, but both of them are pretty high.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four, 5 or 14. How long would you prefer to isolate, regardless of the CDC's recommendation of 5 days?
14.
So, for if you're actually positive, 14.
Yeah. If I'm actually positive, 14, but if it's just I'm not sure, then I would still go to five.
Keep taking at-home tests until I get negative, go get the PCR, and so if that happens at day 6 or 7, then that's when I'm...
Yeah.
If I'm negative, I'm negative. Fuck it. I'm out. If I'm still testing positive, even after 2 weeks, I'll probably continue at least for another week or two. And I know you can get false positives. Like, I know that's a thing. But, like, if after 2 weeks it's still positive, I'm going to give it another week.
Yeah, just to entirely safe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Question number 5, PTO or WFH? If you were to contract COVID-19, would you rather burn 40 hours of PTO or try to work from home at least half of the week that you are isolating?
So, somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, maybe it was even Eric Knight.
It was Salsa, but he heard it from me.
Oh, that's who it was.
I'm glad you made the joke because I was thinking about
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I watched that twinkle happen in your eye, and I was like, "Nope, I got to beat him to it."
That was amazing. All right. I think
also, as an aside, I'm a little nervous on how much I've been picking up on Salsa's cues tonight. That's
It's because you're making eye contact.
Projecting a lot lately, apparently.
You can make eye contact because hockey season is over. That's...
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry. Hockey season is never over.
I'm sorry. We just finished the conference finals.
Oh, this is
Stanley
my mistake.
Cup playoffs start in 2 days.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, but they're not playing right now.
Not at the moment.
Okay, that's why. All right. Pardon me. Thank you.
But the finals start on the 15th.
Yeah, hash browns knighted. All right. So,
between Tampa Bay and Colorado.
Eric Knight, I believe, was the one who posted it to Facebook that someone had said, like, the difference between away messages and email between Europe and the United States is that in Europe, they'll be like, yes, I've taken the summer off to go hiking, and
I'll be back in a month.
I'll be back in August.
Yep,
right.
And send me an email then. I'll probably just delete everything when I get back to clean things out. Right, and then the American away messages.
I'm in the emergency.
I'll be getting kidney surgery today between the hours of 1 and 2. I should be in the recovery room and awakening by 2:30. But if you do have an emergency, please send a message directly to my cell phone. One of the surgeons will be watching it, and they will take me out of anesthesia if it is really urgent.
Because... Yeah. Fuck healthcare in this country and fuck time off in this country and all that.
Right. Yeah. It's an expectation. Yep. We have real shit expectations.
Yeah.
But
that's all that is.
No, this is what that's
He's
reminding me of.
Greatest country in the world.
Perfectly normal American PTO. Normal. Yeah. So,
that having been said, I would still try to work from home as much as I could.
Yeah.
Just because
I would recommend that other people take PTO, but I would probably work from home.
I believe this to be an accurate assessment of what you would do.
100% with him. I would go crazy.
I would probably go
crazy. Going on vacation for 2 weeks really when I came back was just like, I took a week to get back into the swing of things. It was awful.
I took a couple weeks while I was moving. But, like, I still, like, came in for one day. I worked from home. But, like, I still showed up for one day catch up on everything and make sure my project. And they were all going great, which was weird. I'm like, I either did a really good job or they don't need me. Like, I didn't know which one was accurate. I went with good job, and I was just like, I'm just going to ride this train.
All right.
But, yeah, like, even then, I was like, I'm gonna pop in during this time off. I kind of needed it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stefan Senpai wraps this up by saying, in case it's not clear, I have fucking COVID-19.
Yeah,
and so does Mrs. Senpai.
Aww. Oh,
Mrs. Senpai.
Now I feel bad.
Yeah. Right.
But it's... I feel bad, too, because I went over to his house to get raspberry plants when he was still... I might have been exposed. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I assume you took a test.
I took an antigen test.
Yeah. Several tests.
We will be a plague house for at least the next 2 weeks. It is a bummer because we most likely caught it from attending a memorial service for a longtime family friend of mine.
Fuck.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know you're infectious before you start showing symptoms?
Correct.
I may have infected two of my coworkers last week, but I didn't get a sore throat until Friday.
Yeah.
So wear a fucking mask!
Wear a mask, test regularly. Oh, they have more free tests
again.
That
was my addition.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Get those.
They do have the
Oh, Costco has 5 tests for $23.
It has been absolutely wonderful having a wife who's a teacher because they get tests.
They just get them.
Yeah.
You can also use HSAs on tests.
Yeah.
And some insurance companies will actually just reimburse you for them.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So... As somebody who actually works for the evil health insurance entities therein, double check your policies.
Mm-hmm.
United Healthcare actually does a pretty good job.
Do that anyway. Some of those health insurance policies don't cover flooding.
Okay, so...
Thank you so very much to Stefan Senpai for sending in that Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and you do, so Jenna doesn't have to, please go to the AON website, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form.
Hold on. You, right now. When was the last time you sent in a Fast Five?
Oh, shit. Jenna's calling you out.
Have you done so in the past month?
Yes, you, with the eyes.
Yeah.
And the nose.
Pause the podcast right now. Just put it on pause. We'll still be here when you get back.
Pause button.
Just pause it.
I might step out.
Go fill out that form.
Just mid-sentence.
So now that you've filled out the form, we can continue our podcast.
Thank you so much.
It means a lot to us.
You didn't have to, but you did.
You did actually have to. Otherwise, Jenna will come to your house.
But not in the fun way.
No.
No. Try, I'm coming over.
Bring back some honey.
Yeah, that's why I'm going,
and
actually.
And some wax, actually.
This is a good idea.
I have so much regret. I went to a home estate sale couple weekends ago, and they had a block of beeswax. It was like 2 feet by 1 foot by 1 foot. It was a gigantic block of beeswax.
That's almost
beeswax for
two
years.
Two cubic feet.
It was huge.
Good job with that, buddy.
And I stood there staring at it for like 5 minutes, and my kids were getting antsy, like, Papa, we're getting fucking bored.
Yeah.
They didn't say fucking, but they definitely said bored. And I was just like, should I or shouldn't I or shouldn't I? And I finally walked away from it, and I got home, and I told my wife. She was like, you should have gotten it. And I went, fuck!
Damn it! Yeah.
So I need beeswax. That's what I'm saying.
I need it.
I know a guy who might be able to hook you up with some of that.
That's what I need, is more projects in my life. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. Submit those Fast Fives. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
Yeah. Shout-out to the Edina and Richfield Farmers Market on Saturday mornings.
Oh, sure.
Amazing cheese, amazing vegetables, cute plants, all kinds of cool shit going on over there. Go check it out. It's small enough that you can see everything in like a half an hour and then make good, informed choices and just buy everything anyway. It's great.
I'm going to give a shout out to my ladies group. They know who they are. I don't know if any of them actually listen to this.
All the Jenna ladies. All the Jenna ladies. All the Jenna ladies.
Put your hands up.
Seriously,
put them up. I can't see you.
Is that good?
You might need to turn it up a little.
Oh, how about two?
There
surround
we go.
Sound. Yeah. There
I
you
can
go.
See you now.
All right. It is lovely having friends of similar identities that are going through similar things at the same time that you are.
Fuck.
That is lovely. But also, everybody is so good at making sure and providing for various allergies that are within the group.
Nice.
There's another person in my group that has almost the exact same allergies as me.
Fuck.
And, it's just like, it's actually kind of nice to have somebody else to be like, oh, we can't eat those things together. you know what I mean? But no, they were really good about getting like vegan marshmallows because gelatin can be an issue and just all this other stuff. It's one person even got little chocolate vegan cupcakes that were coconut free. Do you know how hard it is to get chocolate vegan cupcakes that are coconut free?
I do, in fact.
Fuck. It's really hard. Oh, okay. And gluten-free. Gluten-free,
holy shit.
Vegan, coconut-free cupcakes. And they were incredible.
That's my Alanis Morissette cover band.
You can get them at Whole Foods, apparently. So anybody wants
sense.
To get me some cupcakes,
good
they do exist.
Yeah.
And it's so nice how that group takes care of each other and just watches out for each other and commiserates together and listens to each other. And so shout out to my ladies.
I'm going to give a shout out to all of the people who look at an empty space in front of them and say, nay, this shall not stand, and then fill it with a thing that they made with their two hands.
Yeah!
And that's really fucking cool.
That is really fucking cool.
Rock on. You're amazing. I love that shit so much, in case it hadn't been abundantly clear in the second portion of this podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hmm.
No,
that was for them, not you.
Oh, and mm-hmm. I thought it was for my shout out.
Yeah, but they're not here, so he was accepting the award on their behalf.
Oh, there you go. No, that's
does anybody have anything to plug?
I do.
Ooh. Well, then you should do that.
Then, yeah. Death on the Dam. It takes place the Friday and Saturday, I believe the last Friday and Saturday of this month, and then in the middle of July. Links will be posted, and if they are popular enough, we'll even do maybe some extra shows in August. But
it has been known to happen.
Mm-hmm. Your opportunities are many, because we will be doing several shows each evening, and Bring friends. Mm-hmm. See it. It is an event, and I fucking love this show. It feels so good to do. So, yeah.
Get damn tickets.
Get damn tickets.
Anybody else? Nope. Okay. Nope. Does anybody have anything else to add?
Bye, bye, love you, bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who's been listening to this podcast. Thank you to Stefan for sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.